Brethren, it's good to be with y'all today and good to have this particular opportunity to have to study God's Word together and in the discussion of it. I'd like to do a small presentation of the things that we're expecting in this class today and then to turn it back to you from the standpoint of questions and comments that you might like to offer in regard to this particular idea. The concept that I have in mind for this particular week of the gospel meeting time through Wednesday night is the idea of behavior. How are we supposed to behave in the house of God? The Apostle Paul addressed that thought to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 very plainly when he noted to him that I don't know exactly what's going to happen to me. The Lord had not revealed to him all that was going to happen, how long he would be held in prison bonds and so forth and so on. And he said, if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. In this sacred passage, we find several things that are there stated. We have a behavior. That behavior comes about from the standpoint of acts of obedience or acts of conduct, because it has in reference to it someone of authority who has made that statement. When mom and dad said earlier in our lives, I'm going to work in the morning and I want you to behave your mama while I'm gone. I want you to behave your grandpa if you get up on the hill up there, and I want you to behave your grandma. Behavior meant I want to be people who follow what they ask, what they say, what they may command, what they may expect. I want to behave in such a way that that will be complimentary. Of course, you and I have also had the experience perhaps of having a peach tree that was out back, and that peach tree never really bore the fruit that it could bear because it didn't have the limbs on it that it needed to have. There are some times that we were sent out to get a limb for the punishment that would happen to our little legs or our little posteriors with that peach limb. Now, a peach limb is unusually flexible as well as strong as well as whipping tool to be used. And so it is that if we did not behave, there were penalties that were offered to us. And those penalties were something we'd rather not next time have a little more of. Sometimes there were those of my friends who brought in a small limb, and they were used a little bit and then told to go back to the tree once again and bring back one more appropriate. Or I will go to the tree and select one for you, said grandma, grandpa, mama, while daddy was gone. Now then, there would be more ideas of punishment along the way there. Expectations would be for us to behave in accordance to what they had asked us to do. If it was the amount of time on the radio in our day and time, or the television set to watch, or amount of time that we were supposed to be in this chair or that chair, if someone else were there available in the room that wanted to sit there, they might say, you occupy this thing for the first 30 minutes, and then you allow this other person in this room to go and sit in that chair for another 30 minutes, and so forth and so on. And those particular expectations would be stated. That is what Paul is stating here in this regard to Timothy. I may not always be there. I may not be there, allowed to be there as soon as I want to get there. But that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. I'm expending some time this morning in this regard because it's important for us to realize someone of authority has given that order or that expectation, that command, that idea that we're to obey. On the second hand, it's something that definitely we can understand. Now, it would not be fair at all to any child to have orders of which that person could not understand. Words that were said but that which that child could not grasp, could not comprehend, could not obey because they could not know what it was. And as a result, those words had to be understandable. And that's a part of this, of the house of God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Pillar and ground. It's a strong basis of foundation. It is teaching that which is true, not because it is itself making up the truth, but because it is God's revelation that's been given, and this is the teaching that God wants us then to pass along to all others round about us. Think about the idea of expectations and who has the authority to give that expectation when we're talking about something that is to be behaved. If we have some behavior on our part that is not in keeping, there is a punishment of God unlike the idea of a peach limb. It is an idea that we're going to be eternal beings. We are eternal beings in expectation. God wants us to behave Him. If we behave what God has asked us to be and do, then there is an eternal life, eternal hope, eternal reward for good that's coming about. We're assured of that in Jesus' words, as well as the words of Peter, Paul, James, and Jude. But at the same time, if we are people who are disobedient, we are eternal beings as well. And we are eternally going to be punished, rejected from God's presence, placed in a place of darkness, placed away from the word of the Lord, the way of the Lord, because the word of the Lord was not kept in our daily walk of life. It was something that was not practiced in our daily walk of life. Jude expresses a little bit in this regard of the expectations in Jude chapter 1, when he said in verse 3, "When I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." He goes on to describe how that ungodly men will come. And in Jude 1 at verse 4, a passage we don't often quote or cite, you'll note that those ungodly men would come and they would teach things that were not of the faith. They would prepare people to follow their will and their way. He goes on to say that in their work, they would turn the grace of God into what? Lasciviousness. How do you turn grace of God into lascivious acts? Now, lascivious acts of the old Hebrew time would go back to the days of Eli and his sons in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And in reference to his work with his sons, it is said in 1 Samuel 3 and 13, Eli's sons made themselves vile. They were not behaving. And Eli restraineth them not. And that's why God opposed Eli. And he was not the righteous person that he ought to have been. Now here's the message that we see here. Lascivious conduct was being practiced by his sons. They were watching the young women that were coming to the worship services and activities that were going on in the sacrifices. And they were watching an opportunity that they would have to intermingle with them in a very worldly way. Worldly talk, worldly mannerism, worldly touching. They were practicing that way of life and they were not acceptable to God. They were not behaving like God wanted them to behave. But Eli, knowing that, is blamed by God. Eli's sons make themselves vile. And Eli constraineth them not. He didn't do anything in regard to objecting to their way of life. He didn't use a peach limb, so to speak. He did not wait and just get the idea that disobedience is a way that you're going to be punished rather than rewarded. And as a result of not being rewarded, most people would say, I don't want to go that way of life. If you went out to fish and you never caught a fish, you would have somebody go with you and say, well, I'm not surprised you don't catch any fish. You make so much noise coming up to the bank. Not a fish would come up anywhere in your sound because they hear the vibration more so than they hear anything else. And you talk so loud, they hear that, and they're fleeing away from the presence. But if you were to adjust the way that you approach the spot that you're fishing, and you go there gently, you go there slowly and softly, and you then put that lure into the water, put that worm on that hook into the water, guess what will happen? You'll be rewarded. You will have good things to happen. You will have fish to come. In my old days of being at Kosciuszko and halfway down between Kosciuszko and Carthage, a place called Dawsonville, it's where I grew up a little bit, and that's where my grandparents were. We had a Cobb's Creek that ran right through our place out there It always fed water by way of the crops that we had in the fields, but also it was a nice little creek along the way. It had lots of brim fish. Now, brim fish are unique fish. They look small, and they look like they wouldn't hurt a flea, and they look like you could just grip them and grab them and everything, but they have a tremendous strength and a tremendous flopping ability, and they'll tear up a rod, they'll tear up whatever you got there. If you don't have a real good hook line on it, they'll tear it off because they flop when they caught. And I never thought about a snake on the bank. I never thought about anything like that. I'd go down there in the afternoon and fish in the shade, and they would come right to the shade part, and they'd come right to that spot, and they would eat of it, and they'd be caught. And Grandma would love the fact that I brought back 4, 5, 6 every time I went down in that afternoon to fish a little bit. And that was good times. We had a lot of fun in that regard, and a lot of ways that she enjoyed cooking fish. Now, my grandmother Rawson, she cooked fish twice. One is in the skillet, when she flipped them in the skillet with lard grease, she flipped them over and she had that. And then she would take them out of that and she would pat them down on some paper, most time newspaper, that would take off a little bit of the grease and all. And then she'd put them in the oven and she would bake the fish as well. She cooked them twice and it was good. Always tender, always good. In fact, she did some good things like that. I had a lady up in town in Kosciuszko named Biddy. Miss Biddy fixed hamburgers like that. She would fry hamburgers just a moment on the grill, and then she'd take them off the grill and put them in a skillet and slip them into a hot oven, 400 degree oven, she told me later. Reason I know it was 400 degree oven, she told me later, is because when I went to Fried Hardeman, and I went in there to the cafeteria to eat a hamburger, I really thought that somebody had ripped off the tongue of a shoe and cooked that thing and called it hamburger meat, because it had no flavor. It was just that kind of tough way of eating at it. I got a job within a week of being up at Fried Hardeman at the Milledgeville Church of Christ to preach out there. And so I went home to get my vehicle so I could drive out that way. And that's another story I tell you about in regard to that, because when I went home, Daddy thought that my old truck, my 49 Chevrolet pickup truck, he thought that that was just too old a model to go out and preach at a place in Tennessee. And so he had a buddy that he bought a car for me. And the car turned out to be a real disappointment to him and a real need to me. And it proved to him that I'd done what he asked me to do. That was good. I had behaved like he asked me to do, because when I got at Fried Hardeman, one of the first things you do in town is meet up with the law enforcement people. You may need them before you get through. And secondly, is look for a place for a repair shop. Repair, if you have some particular appliances in your house, you'll need them eventually. But more than that, if you have an automobile you're driving, you're going to need a repair to be done. You're going to have an automobile tire to go flat. You're going to have something else to happen to it. You need a repairman. And along the way with that, this vehicle that I got and everything did not match up. And I was glad to tell my dad when I called him on the phone and told him that this vehicle has really messed up for us. When that man opened that up, he was right across from the campus there at Fried Hardeman on Main Street. He was right there. And he came over and picked up the vehicle and pulled it right in and elevated it up on a well. And so he could get that. And he unloosened the transmission and oil came out of that thing that looked like ants. It looked like ants. It had all kinds of little pieces between it. And I said, "What is that? I've not seen any of that." And he said, "Somebody has decided to help your transmission to have the torque that it wants to have. And they have put sawdust into this oil." And he said, for a little while, it will work if you work it as small driving and everything like that. That's what the gentleman thought of. He didn't know I was headed 150 miles up Natchez Trace to Freed Harbor. He thought I was just going to drive around there a little bit and everything, and it would always be there, always be workable for me and would not recognize. But when I called my dad and said, my dad, this has got what he says is sawdust in the transmission. I was glad that I had behaved my dad. Because he said, son, he said, have you had time up there at Freed Hardeman yet to see a repairman, a car repairman? And I said, yes, I have. And he said, go to him and see what he can do. And that's the result of his pulling me in, jacking me up, finding that to be the case. And I called my dad back to tell him that. And I was grateful I could say to him, yes, I've behaved, and yes, this is what I've done, because I fear what he would have said or done otherwise if I had said, well, I've been up here a week or two and I hadn't had time to look at that. That's one of the first things you do when you move to a new place, a new time, look for the people who can help you in a need situation. What I'm telling you these examples about is to tell you the idea that we have here in the scripture in regard to Paul telling Timothy, I want you to behave yourself in the house of God. More than that, how that Jude said, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. That faith is the faith of the which, if there are those who work this gospel grace into lasciviousness, it's not going to be good representing God. He's not honored in that way of doing things. And this is hardly the way that you want to be and do. And so we'll find that our ways of life will be punished by God if we do not follow His right and righteous way. What a good thing it is to find this to be the case in God's Word, God's teaching. Back just a moment to Miss Biddy. I went back that weekend to get my vehicle, and he got me that car. In turn, and it's a 54 Ford. Wide, big, thought a lot of things you could do and put in the trunk as well as there in the back seat and all. It's just good for a preacher to have one like that. But it just didn't work real well and everything. And so it was fixed up, and I drove it a little bit. But Miss Biddy, I went over to visit with her. And I said, Miss Biddy, what did you do to your hamburger meat? It was always tender. It was always good. A little crispy on one side and a little bit of tenderness all the way through. And it had a good flavor to it. And she said, well, let me explain to you what I do in my cooking. And that's why she explained. She seared it first. And then she put it into a skillet and slipped it into a 400 degree oven for 7 minutes. And now then, that would make that tender and good. And that was good. I said, well, she said, what did you get into up at school? And I said, well, I got into a shoe tongue is what I really got into, because it tasted like that and felt like that in my chewing and all. And I went back to inform the cooks up that way that there's another way to which you cook hamburger meat. And I think they took it to heart. I really do, because I got a better hamburger along the way up that way. I'm illustrating this point to you. Now, here's a particular thing about the thought. This is not going to be on the record and everything, no recording of this at all. What questions and comments might you have about the idea of the person of authority or the message of authority that we obey as we behave in anything?